Welcome to Reformation Platform Media. And now, we present to you God's Word, which is able to save your soul. Please, listen with your heart as the servant of God brings us the Word of Life.
In this training, and as we are beginning this particular course, we ask that you speak to us in Jesus' name. We ask that you open our eyes of understanding and that you pour us a blessing. We thank you because you are faithful. We magnify your holy name because you are true. For in Jesus' name we have prayed. Course 102, living and laboring with eternity in view. When we say living, what are we talking about? A lifestyle, yes. The way we do things, okay. So maybe we should just stick to just those two, okay? Amen. This is very, very interesting. If what we are saying is that to live, or when we use the word living, what are we talking about? The kind of lifestyle or the way we do things day by day. Okay? When we say laboring, what are we talking about? Work. When we say eternity, what are we talking about? Endless, forever and ever. Everlasting, the world after now. Abby?
I don't need to write that.
In view, what are we talking about? Focus. Now let us begin. There's a difference between living and laboring. Is it not so? There's a difference between your lifestyle and the work that you do. Do you understand or you don't understand what I'm saying? I said there's a difference between your lifestyle as you live every day and laboring or as you work every day. They are not the same thing. Are they the same thing? No. So my first question to you is this. Are you living your life with eternity in view? For it is impossible to labor or work with eternity in perspective, okay, or in view or in focus, if you are not, first of all, living with eternity in view. Now, what is the opposite of eternity? The opposite of eternity is what? What is the opposite of eternity? Who is here and you are not planning your life? You know, the person is not here. Is the person here? Who is here and you have plans for your life? Okay. This is your plan for your life. Will it end in time? Or will it go beyond time into eternity? I'm sorry? It will end with time. Now, if the things you plan for your life will end with time or in time, meanwhile, there's an eternity. Would it not have been a waste of life to use the same time that you have, because the time is not two, it's only one. Or to use the same lifestyle, to use the same lifetime, sorry, that you have in living for time instead of for eternity. I don't want to get to laboring yet. So much effort is dissipated, so much time is wasted in planning and running up and down for what can be achieved in time. In fact, most ministers and most ministries have forgotten that there's an eternity. All the mega big projects are not projects about how will people make it into the kingdom of God and what will their lot be when they get there. Everything is about what are we going to become
and time. But the Bible speaking in the book of 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6. Are we there? And from verse 6 to verse 10. But I'll take it little by little from verse 6. In fact, from even verse 5. From verse 5 to 10. What I'm attempting to do, if the Lord gives me grace within the small time I have today, is to make us to see the need to live our lives with eternity in view. When we come tomorrow, we can start looking at laboring. Okay? But I can't lump them together. They're not the same thing. And the minister that is not yet living with eternity in view can never labor with eternity in view. It's not possible. It's not. Like I was ministering, I don't know whether it was yesterday or the first day. I said, anybody that is not expecting the kingdom of God, even if he preaches about it, it will be once in a while. It will be that so that it won't look like we are not talking about it. But if that is what he's living for, if that is his desire, if that is his hope, if that is his prayer, if that is his longing, if I said, even if he's preaching on Holy Communion, what will he do? He will find a way to remind us that the Lord is coming. I was teaching about Holy Communion somewhere, and I think it was Brother Colley that he didn't tell me. Somebody that he told me. You know, I was speaking about, was it Holy Communion or no? It was about Love Feast. Who remember that those that attend our fellowships? Remember that every is it quarter, when we want to end or start, we'll start with having a big love feast together. You remember now? Huh? So he had planned that he won't eat anything. Because you know these things that church people do and all that. Until I open scriptures about the fact that saints, what do they do together? They eat together. And then I now went again to the book of Revelation, because I remember that I went to the book of Revelation. And I was talking about the banquet feast of Christ. That after the rapture, how will it be when we are all called into this feast? Who will be on my table? Maybe it will be me, Noah. And find me somebody else that lives at another time. It could be a preacher, it could be a prophet. Eh? And Job. And all of us will be feasting together. And he said, when he saw those scriptures, told himself, I'm going to eat very well. So, if it is your, if that's what you believe, if that's what you are longing for, what will happen to you? You will always find a way to bring it in. To show and to remind brethren that it doesn't end here. If our hope in Christ is for this world only, we have all men the most miserable. And it is sad, it is peculiarly sad that ministers meticulously prepare for now. Ministers of nowadays, and there's nothing for hereafter. Nothing at all. It's peculiarly sad. And that's why I feel that such a scripture like this that came from a fellow minister like us. Amen. This apostle Paul, Abby, or Brother Paul the apostle, writing a letter to his son, the later co-laborer, Timothy, and telling him on some things. And these were the things he said. And these things had to deal with living how? With eternity in view. So I feel we should look at it together. From verse 5. Yes, I want the first reader to read up to verse 10. Then we'll now start taking it one by one. 1 Timothy 6 from 5 to 10.
Long to be rich, fall into temptations that are trapped by many foolish and harmless desires that plug them into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. And some people craving money have wandered from the true faith and pierced themselves with many sorrows.
May God give increase to his word in the name of Jesus. Perverse disputing of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth. Men who think or supposing that gain is godliness, from such withdraw thyself. That's what the Bible says. Now, that's in the King James. In the Amplified Bible, it reads this way, and perpetual friction between men who are corrupted in mind and deprived of the truth, who think that godliness is a source of profit, a lucrative money-making business. Withdraw yourself from such people. Amen. Godliness is not a business. What did I say? No, it's not. And that men have made a business out of it will not make it still a business. They only made a business out of it to their own destruction. To their own what? For all they are planning for and all they are building for is in time. Amen. There are some of us who don't want to be rich. Amen. Who don't want to be popular. Who don't want to be known. Who are planning and preparing for eternity as a lifestyle. As what? I don't want to stop here because it will waste my time. I mean, talking about the issue of men, of it is you I want to talk to. You understand? You understand? So I don't want to waste my time really in verse 5. Now, verse 6 says, but godliness with contentment is great gain. And he quickly explained what he meant by that statement. Amplified says, but godliness actually is a source of great gain when accompanied by contentment. That contentment which comes from a sense of inner confidence based on the sufficiency of God. Amen. Why are we saying godliness with contentment is great gain? Verse 7 says, because we brought nothing into this world. And it is certain. It is what? That we can take nothing out. Then, he concluded that, and having food and clothing, let us therewith be content. So I'm going to ask you a question. If all that God gives you in this lifetime is food and clothes that you can wear, will you be contented? That's where to start from. Amen? Isn't that where to start from? Because the rejection of contentment is what leads men into covetousness. Because the opposite of contentment is covetousness. Okay? And covetousness is what will make you to run up and down and do whatever you are doing to gather for this world and not become anything in the world that is to come. Jesus said, anyone who surrenders his life, who gives up his life for Christ's sake, what will happen to him? He said he will regain that life that he has surrendered. He will regain it. Is it just in heaven? No, from here on earth. So as a minister, you must come to the stage where you tell yourself, I have no more ambition or plan to become anything. And as I look at your faces, I know you still have so many plans to become so many things. So I want to tell you, you are not yet ready to serve God. Amen. You can't be served when you are combat with so much ambition. No. It can't, because there will never be enough time. You know me, I like to take the Bible the way the Bible is. Having food and having what? Clothes. You see, they didn't even say fancy clothes. They just simply said what? Clothes. You should be content. I will still come to verse 9 and 10, okay? That talks about those who want to be rich and all, but let's deal with this one first. I'm asking you, will you be contented? Will you I said the meaning of living with eternity in view is that you don't want to carry any baggage or any weight. Okay? You don't want anything that will distract you as you are waiting and preparing for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. All you are saying is not practical. It's not possible. Are you sure? How many houses did Jesus have when he was on earth? Huh? Where is Paul's palace? Apostle Paul's palace. Where is it? I was speaking 2 days ago about the gospel. And I said, if we say we are ministers of the gospel, then we ought to live the way men who Jesus gave this gospel to, how they lived. Except we are deceiving ourselves. Or except we want to make godliness as a means of making money. You understand? If it's that you want to make money, no problem. The Bible has spoken about such people. He said they are men of corrupt minds. What are they? They are destitute of the truth. Now, if it is in the purpose and plans of God to keep his resources in your hand, even if it's money and all of those, I don't have any problem. Because nobody boasts about money that's not his own. Amen? Have you seen somebody that they kept maybe 2 million in his account? Who knows? He dare not touch. He dare not withdraw 1 naira. Boasting about that is rich. Huh? I have no problem with that. But if you want to live with eternity in view, you will have absolute disregard for living in time. Now, does that mean when it's time to shave your beard, you won't shave? Or when your hair is full, because you want to go to heaven, you will leave it? Is that what I'm saying? No, you will do all the normal things that people do. But your ambition will not be here. That's what I'm saying. Your ambition won't be where? It won't be here. Your focus and purpose will have nothing to do with trying to provide for yourself. Amen. Instead, your focus, your purpose, everything will have to do with when the Master comes, what will I present to him? What will I tell him I have done? That will be your concern. And so therefore, every day as you live in time, you'll be using time to prepare for eternity. You will not be squandering time for the sake of time. Amen. So I ask you again, are you ready to be contented with just food and clothes? And nothing more. I asked this question somewhere, then somebody raised hand and said to me, but Jesus said that whatever we desire, we should ask. So I laughed. I laughed. Do you know why I laughed? Do you know why I laughed? Because both scriptures now look like a paradox. One says, food and clothing. The other says, whatever you desire. Abby, I think you are the one that asked me that question. It is you. But you have asked me a question before about that scripture, that mark. We desired yesterday that we'll learn without distraction. Did we not? And what happened? Was it answered? See, because people are quick to think whatever you desire means material things. Amen. That's not to say it does not include material things. It does. Okay? But the issue is this. I hope you know God knows every heart. Huh? Those who are ready to live with just food and clothing, He knows them. And no matter how well you kneel down here, for instance, and say, holy, 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 holy. If you're a covetous person, God knows. I hope you know He knows. Huh? Now, what I have found is this. When you don't want to be anything other than what God wants you to be, He showers you with gifts. Huh? Particularly maybe whatever it is he feels you will need or things that you think you need that you ask him for. And the way they will come, you yourself will know, it's not through the struggle that human beings who have no God and men whose portion is only in this world, how they struggle. It will never come to you like that. Okay? Because that has to be clear. But that scripture is only answerable like this, so that I can explain it to you. When your appetites are not crucified and your desires are not sanctified, don't think that you will ask whatever you will and he will give you. Because if he loves you and he doesn't want to kill you, he won't give you. And should I prove it to you? I want you to think back. How many of the things that you ask God for has he given you? Amen. There are people here that have asked for a car. Some, you know, by social age, I want to build a house of my own. At social age, and that age has passed, I want to build my house, right or wrong. Why? Maybe the things that we are asking for, you understand? Maybe because he knows that why we are asking for them is because we just want to expend them on our lusts. You understand? So we say, no, it's not your time. I ask you again, brethren, are you going to be contented with just food and clothes? Because if you will not be, I want to assure you, you will not labor with eternity in view. You'll be struggling to run up and down to gather things for yourself and maybe for your family. Is this not the aberration that makes you to think that the things you do, you go out to do, maybe you're a printer, maybe you're an electrician like Rashego is, or maybe you're a fashion designer, maybe you're whatever it is that you are. Isn't that why you think that that is the work of your life? Amen. Then, in order to assuage your conscience, you join the choir. So that you look like you are doing something for God. Amen. Who is deceiving who? Do you understand? In order, when your conscience starts pricking you that you are not doing anything, you now say, okay, well, that you want to be also in the visitation team, apart from the other things that you are doing in church. No. Brethren, it is important to understand that there's a difference between your job, which is what you do secondarily, is what is primary in most of our lives now. You know, that your business, that your printing business. That's your work. No, that's not your work. That is your job. The same way Paul had a tent-making business that he does once a while. When does he do it? How do you quantify? We are going to be teaching you for 2 weeks now, Abby. How do you quantify it? I'm a married man with 3 children and a 4th child live with me. So I'm a married man with 4 children. How do you quantify my 2 weeks? I'm asking you. Did we collect money from you for form? Did you pay school fees? Have we asked you for offering? Do you understand it now? So how do you quantify it? And when I got to the last time, my wife told me that food has finished. Hallelujah. I didn't even say that now so that I can come inside and give me offering. You can't bless me except God commands it. Are you getting it now? Now, how do you explain that? And of course, because God is faithful, even though there was no food last night, they went out of the house this morning. Everybody was full when they ate. Amen. And we didn't prophesy here yesterday. We didn't drop revelation offering. So how? You think that God gave you time so that you can squander your life away trying to make a living? Is it bad to work? No. Your work is the purpose for which you were sent into this world. Amen. Your job is what you are doing on the side. And the reason why you are still doing that job is because your work has not grown to the level where it will be enough to take care of you. Amen. Do you understand? Do you understand? When you focus on your work, because your sender is eternal, because your sender is what? You most likely live with eternity in view. Because you know that somebody else sent you. Do you understand? When you focus on your job, you will forget eternity. Amen. Because you are only working from job to job. Working to finish that job and let's hope another one will come. Amen. Are we getting it? How do you live your life? They ask you, you know, interviewers ask you, in the next 5 years, where do you see yourself? If you ask me that question, do you know what I'll answer you? I'll answer by saying, I'm praying that in the things that was written concerning my life, that I would have made more progress in them. That's my answer. And yet, I'm a gifted artist. What am I? Gifted. That if I want to go into the labor market to compete with other artists, I will not be struggling with them. Because I put my best into whatever I do. Okay? I won't be. That doesn't even mean that once a while I don't do some things. I do some things. But I understand it very, very clearly. See, somebody called me today that some people that I'm working with, they are asking for something. You understand? That they've sent me an email, I'm not responding. So I asked you that, let me use your phone, Abi. So I checked the email, I saw that, okay, they're asking for something. It's time for the class. What they're asking for, what must happen to it? It will wait. When we finish this one, I will attend to them. If they don't want, let them carry their work and go. Simple. You know what you used to do? This one will wait so that you can do this one. I should explain more. Do you need more explanation with the example so that you know you are the one I'm talking to? How many times have you sacrificed Bible study because somebody called you that? Oh, yeah, what? Huh? Prayer that, you know, you have told yourself, I'm just setting myself apart for the Lord. So he goes, oh, no. And since nobody called you to come and do anything, you know, these 3 days, I just want to separate myself unto the Lord. You know, it's only God that can be God. Then he sees the way human beings behave. And you have been enjoying God, though. Day one has gone. Day two has gone. Earlier, at the beginning of day three, as I just... And you know, somehow you begin to think that, thank God, and that's that flesh thing Brother Shem was talking about. I'm becoming more serious with the Lord now. Thank you, Jesus. Then your phone rang. And by the time you picked it, for somebody somewhere who urgently needs something done now. Do you remember what you used to say to God? What do you used to say to God? When things are happening. And you are out before you bath. You don't understand what I'm saying? In your mind, you are already on your way to the place. Before you even go to the bathroom to change, you are already on your way. What do you say to God? Oh, yeah, 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 yeah. Because we all do it. Eh? Lord, I will come back. Is it not so? Whenever you now come back, has it ever been that you get that same flow that you are having before you jumped out? Like lying. What are you living for? What is your life ambition? Amen. You know, in those places where they tell you, think big. And actually, they are correct. Except that they themselves, they think small. Because a wise man invests, is it not so? So I'd rather use this lifetime to invest in eternity. Do you understand? Than squander my lifetime in time. Shekin was looking at me when I came down from the car today. And he was smiling. So I wondered, why are you smiling? He said, I was looking at my head. That white hair is getting more. So I laughed. I said, I should. Do you know somebody who started, I'm not even 40 yet, white hair.
Go and find me dying.
I'm not concerned. God don't bother me. It's more than personal aesthetics. I'm not concerned with looking fine. I'm concerned with finishing my work. I'm concerned with finishing the reason why life was given to me. No interest in the white there's what? See our house, see the way it looks. Because you are not thinking correctly. If you are thinking correctly, you'll understand that everyone who seeks first the kingdom and his righteousness, how many things will be added unto him? Every single thing that can assure you that yes, how many things does he add? Everything. He adds everything. For we came into this world with nothing. And it is certain that we'll carry nothing out. Why must you focus your life so much on things you can't carry out? On things that when you are going, you must leave them. Why is this important? Because if you as a minister, if you're not living with eternity in view, excuse me, if it's not your lifestyle, people who follow you, I say people learn more by observation than by teaching. People, men looking at your life, they learn far more lessons than whatever you are going to teach them. And you can't pretend to live with eternity in view if you are not living with eternity in view. If you ask me, what's your perception of having a party? I don't know where I was saying it. Was it here, yesterday, or 2 days ago? Where I was saying that there's nothing wrong with doing naming ceremony with Zobo and biscuit. One is a drink, the other is a type of food. Is it not so? But you will never do, you will say, God forbid, God forbid, God forbid. Why are you saying God forbid? Because you want to show some people. Huh? We too, we are doing, after you have come, we will feed you, we will feed you. So such that even if there's no money, something happened to me. My uncle died 2 weeks ago. I was supposed to bury him last week. So they sent me the native that we are all going to wear and all that. They just sent me a native that I should show and wear. And they began insisting that that's a native I must wear. I said, me. I don't have money to sew now. So if you want to take it back, you are free. I will wear what I have. Amen. So they suffered that and gave me the native anyway. Is the native not still with you? He's still with you. When God provides money, we will put money there. How many clothes do you have? How many of them are old? Do you notice that you constantly have more new clothes than old clothes? You are not answering again. I'm talking to everybody. No, you don't understand what I'm saying. Should I explain myself so that you understand what I'm saying? Because you are doing your face somehow now. You have some clothes. You say that they are clothes that you wear out. Some you say that they are clothes for occasions. Is it not so? Some you wear at home. I want you to plus the one you wear out plus occasion. You have more new clothes than old clothes. Do you know even rich people that we try to copy, they don't have clothes that they wear out. They dress big how many days? Every day, because that's how they are. You understand? They go have pajamas or things they wear at home, but the bulk of their clothes are new. I thank God for your life. Hallelujah. That is because you are above average, you are not poor. That's what I'm trying to tell you. Huh? I thank God for your life. Now, in the last 1 year or 2 years, okay, because I'm trying to help you see whether what you live for is time or eternity. Do you understand? That's what I'm trying to help you figure out. How much have you invested on clothes or shoes or bags, okay, or what you look like? In comparison with what you have invested in two things. One, either Bibles or study materials so that you can know God more. Two, then, other things that can help other Christians to grow stronger in the faith. Which one is more? Wardrobe and all. Amen. Some of us here, the number of shoes you have. I'm not against you. I'm only trying to show you what you are living for. That's all I'm just trying to show you. Moji made this shoe for me. I think it was last year. Do you know that this is the only shoe I had in that last year? Will you believe? You know, some guys hit you in the face. And I don't have cover shoes. I'm not saying it's a sin to have. Don't get me wrong. Okay? I'm not saying it's a sin. I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm only saying that what you focus on, okay, what you live your life based upon. You saw me wear a tennis yesterday. Somebody gave me. And if you look at it very well, you can see it is fading. I'm not saying this so that you can now go out and buy me a shoe. I don't want your shoe. I'm only talking to you about who? Yourself. The dinner party I went for 2-3 days ago, I wore that tennis. My uncle's burial, I wore these slippers. Amen. And if you see me, I look very fine. I wore my slippers. Why? I have more important things. Now, it's not that I couldn't have afforded shoes, so don't get me wrong. But in my scale of preference about things that are important, it's not in there. Amen? It's not in there. Within the same time frame I'm talking about, I've invested over $150 in buying things that can help me understand God more. I mean, if you are translating to Nigeria, I can buy some good shoes and good... Those are not... I know that my work is much. I know that my work is what? My work is much. I'm supposed to be writing some tracts, edification tracts, about 96 per year. And each one is supposed to be a blessing. That's just one out of several other things I must do. Not I may do. Things I must do. So I have so much desire in clothes. And when there's a need for clothes, you know what I do? Lord, your servant has nothing to wear again. We need shirts, we need this one. And what will happen? Baba will bring them. And they won't be something somebody has used. And because they are tired, they give us. For it pays well. What did I say? It pays very, very well. Say, but they that will be rich. I've seen people say, they say money is the root of evil, Abi. But money is not the root of evil. They say, what do you mean? Look at it. Bible said that the love of money is the root of all evil. No. Verse 10 was simply expatiating verse 9. Look at your Bible. But they that will be rich. Those who will, who desire to be rich. Bible said that they fall into many snares, many temptations, and things that drown men in destruction and in perdition. So, it now continues to explain. For, that is, in trying to explain this verse 9, for the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, since they are not contented, they have erred from the faith. To err is to miss the road and head into the bush. And they pierce themselves through with many sorrows. Who does not want to be rich here? You are here, you don't want to be rich. Do you know that? Who wants to be rich here? Who wants to be comfortable? You want everything to be okay? Raise your hand now. You want to be rich. So, if you want to be rich, you are liable to that great temptation written in verse 9. You are liable to the temptation to not eventually prepare for eternity. Do you understand? Let me help you. Because it's not that I don't have the covenant with poverty. so that you can understand what I'm trying to say. Okay? Okay? My issue is just that I've been able to understand some things better. That's all. And what's the thing that I've been able to understand? Now, I'm not even using them in accordance to how the Bible used them. Because the Bible says, beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health even as thy soul prospereth. Okay? I'm using them in the way we understand them now. Okay? Do you understand what I'm saying? So that's the context that I'm using them in. Wealth is not the same thing as prosperity. Amen. Did I use the word wealth? Let me not use the word wealth. I've been able to understand blessing. Do you understand? And blessing and prosperity are not the same thing. Any day, anytime, I'd rather be blessed than be prosperous. Quote and unquote, the way the church uses it today. Okay? What does it mean to be blessed? To be blessed. I'm not giving you the definition of blessing, which I think I've given you before. It is the convergence of God's favor, mercy, and grace upon a life. Okay? That's blessing. Okay? But to be blessed is simply this. To be a man to whom God, who loves that man more than life, is just a conversation away. So it means to be blessed. I said that I'm not giving you the definition of blessing, which I've given you before, which is that blessing is the convergence of God's mercy, favor, and grace upon a person's life. But to be in a state of being blessed is that you as a person, you are one to whom God, okay, then in bracket, that God who loves you more than life itself, is just a conversation away. Do you understand? Lord, please help us with this, you know, this one and this one and that one. And what happens? It's done. Because he loves you more than life. And he has proven his love by giving his own life. Do you understand? He that did not spare his own son, the Bible speaking in Romans chapter 8, and verse 32. But deliver them up for us all. How will he not also with his son freely give us all things? That's blessing. That's that you're blessed. He didn't create you or sent you into this world to struggle like godless people. He didn't. See, about days when I needed 150,000 and I needed 150 naira. Same day. And I asked for both. And what happened? Both came. Now, because 150,000 came, does that mean that I'm a rich man? No. Because 150,000 that I needed to cut my hair came, does it mean I'm poor? No. To be blessed is to have God at a conversation away. And that God, who is just one conversation away, gives you always. Gives you when? A blank check. What does it give you? Ask what you want and it will be done. That blessing. Amen. That's better than holding money in a bank. Because all your hope and trust will be there. Is it not so? I'd rather have him an eternal account in heaven that cannot finish. Amen. So even if it's a billion, even if it's an hectare of land. Amen. I'll ask. And what will happen? Because he owns how many things? All things. It will be done. When, in his own timing, when he knows I need it, it will be done. That's why I said, once you have food and clothes, you should be okay. Ministers of God, you must know that Jesus Christ never said anything good about money. That's just think about it. Just think. Think and try and find somewhere where Jesus said, How blessed is it to be filled with gold? You can't find anything like that. Never had anything good to say about money. And you may wonder why. Do you know why? It is because they had been blessing before there was money. And when money has gone, there will still be what? Blessing. And the Lord God made them male and female. And he blessed them. And as at that time, what did Adam own? When God blessed him, what did he own? Huh? No, you are not thinking about it well. What belonged to Adam? What did God give him? Huh? Was it a garden? The whole earth. Show me the rich man that owns the whole world. Have you seen one? The world is poor. Our God is rich. There's a place in the book of Job. He said, who hath given to me that I should repay him? Huh? Whatsoever that you see under the whole heaven is mine. Amen. And see, me, I love such scriptures. Once I was driving past by someone and I said, Lord, I want a new car. He was asking me why I wanted this. I was telling him. He said, do you know that I can take you into any, see all these cars? I was driving by a car lot, you understand? See all these cars you see, they belong to me. He said, Baba, give me now. He said, it's not your time. This one is okay, go. Amen. It's beautiful to walk with God. Whatever you see that is under the whole heavens, who owns it? The person you call your father. May you know him as such. If you know him as such, you don't need to be gathering things. You don't need to. Why are you wasting your time? Which parent will be happy that your children, let's say your son now, somebody or an uncle came to visit, they gave him money. Then he went out, he bought 2 cups of rice, 1 cup of beans, and so then you say, just 1 small bottle of kerosene. You don't even use kerosene in your house because they won't put gas for him in the cup. Then he brought it home. When you see, what will you do to him? Huh? I will flog him. Because what is he telling me? Speak up. Then I cannot take care of him. So, and since he's alone, if he does not provide for himself, he may have nothing. That's what he's telling me. In the same way, when we struggle misusing and squandering the life that was given for a purpose, to be running up and down for nothing, the Lord will withdraw his hand and he will allow circumstance and life and Ogunaye and the rest of those things to flog us very well. Your job can only give you prosperity. And do you know what the Bible says about money? It says that money, that what is the use of money? When it is plenty, other than that you are looking at it, and what is it doing through your hands? It's falling through your hands. Or say, when wealth increases, what happens to the people that suddenly becomes your friend? Eh? The number of people that will eat it with you will increase. And when it finishes, what will they do again? Thank you. Shake bum bum and they go. Huh? But when you focus on your work, nobody can finish eating blessings. What did I say to you? No, it's not. How? If the whole world converts today and it blesses all of us, we may need to ask the angels to come. Because what God will still do for all of us is too much. We can't finish it. May the Lord give you understanding. I do not want you to be without understanding. Stop living for time. This lifetime, you don't have more than 100 years. Or if you have more than, okay, you don't have more than 200 years if you want to live long. Do you know that 200 years is not up to a day in the presence of God? For a day, before him, it's like 1,000 years. So, if he wants you to live with him forever and ever, and is using this period of time to test you, to see what you will do. Then focus on the reason why you are born. And if your own is that, me, I don't know why, then let us, we can deal with that, okay? But decide and tell yourself, I will no longer live my life by running up and down looking for food. Amen. Worldly people will say, you know, he's a very responsible man and he's doing very well. That means he's able to gather enough food. That's simply what they're saying. Okay, at the end of it, why do you want to become senator? Senators, presidents, all those positions that people have. Why? Money. Why would they eat money? Why do they want to gather all that money? Why? Huh? They want a better life. Do you understand? Better cars, better food, more electricity. At least in a place like Nigeria. When they want to eat, they want to have a whole plate that meat to rich. Have you? That's why. At the end of it, when you summarize it all up, it's just simply for better food, better life. Simple, because nobody can eat money. Better clothes. That's it. Between you and God, who has more? Who can provide more? So it is actually high level of foolishness to squander one's lifetime trying to get food. Amen. Let me stop here. We have very few minutes left so that you can ask questions. Okay? Let us pray so that we can then ask our questions. Okay? I want you to pray. Remember that song that we sang yesterday? My life must serve your purpose, Lord. Living for you and dying to self. My all I give your will to serve. Dear Lord, come take your own. I want you to pray and say, Lord, my life must serve your purpose. Bring me to a position of rest. Help me to stop running around looking for food. I'm not an animal. It's animals that run up and down looking for food. If I was made in God's image, there's a reason. Bring me to a position of rest. Bible says those who have entered into his rest, they have ceased from their works as he ceased from his own work. When you enter into his rest, he goes to work on your behalf. Lord, let me stop living looking for food. Let me stop living trying to compete with men.
Help me
in the name of Jesus to start living for the reasons why God sent me into this world. And then, as the Bible says, my food shall be sure and my water will be given to me. Help me, precious Lord, to stop struggling. Bring me to a place of rest. Let me be able to tell my soul, be still, my soul. Be still, my soul. Be still, my soul. Cease from thy labor and thy toil. Refreshing springs to troubled mind and heart that ache. Be still, my child. I know thy ways, and I will give. Let me be still, Lord, in Jesus' name. Bring me to a place of rest. Let my struggle cease. Help me to labor for what matters. Help me to live for what counts. In Jesus' name, we are praying. You know what is sad? The same time that is required to live for the purpose for which you are born is the same time that is required to look for food. Amen. So you can't do both. You can only pick one. It's the same time. Looking for food comes clearly, even though worldly people call it being responsible and all that, but it comes clearly from a foundation of unbelief, where you know that if you don't take care of yourself, nobody will take care of you. It's not true. But God says, go on my behalf, I'll take care of you. And he's faithful. What did I say? He's faithful. I want you to pray. Help me that my faith and trust will be in you. Help me to believe the things you say about yourself. Help me to believe the things you say about me. You said that you are the Almighty. Help me to believe. You said that the cattle upon 1,000 hills belongs to you. Help me to believe. You said that you cast my cares upon you. Help me to believe. Help me to believe what you said about yourself. Help me to believe what you said about me. Help me in the name of Jesus. Tell him, let me not listen to this course in vain. Living and laboring with eternity in view. Let it kickstart a new experience in my relationship with God. Let my life matter. In your purpose, let my life matter. Let my life count in the things you intend to do. Like Peter, I will trust you. I will lay down my net. I will allow you to come into my boat to be used for your purpose. And I know, if Peter didn't go home empty-handed, I know I would not go home empty-handed. Nobody does business with God and the person will lose. No. No. It pays, and it pays very, very well. Thank you, precious Father. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. God bless you. Let's be seated. In a few minutes, we'll have. I want you to ask your questions if you have. If you don't have, we'll close. I've said a lot of things. Some of those things were directly, challenging what we have always believed. You know, if you have questions on them, we'll take them now before we close. Yes.
Work and job. I think the Lord Jesus Christ experienced both. We knew him as a carpenter when he was on earth. And somehow, when I look at the time Jesus Christ spent on job, was more than what he spent on work. The understanding also that I have also is that before he even stepped into his work, God said, this is my beloved son, on whom I'm well pleased, hear him. Now, it looks as if Jesus Christ gave us an example, knowing that even sometimes we might spend more time at our job than at our work.
You are saying it looks like.
I'm just saying, because he lived doing more of job than work.
You are just looking at something.
Now, what I'm now looking at is that it's as if our job must glorify God.
No, it's not as if.
I'm just saying that our job must glorify God.
It must.
Glorify God in such a way that even God will be pleased with us.
I said, let your light so shine. Jesus speaking. That men will see your good works and they will glorify God.
Okay, now, I'm now saying that, looking at it, that he was given, God was just pleased with him.
Yeah.
Now, in a way, if the way I'm looking at it now is as if I am doing my job, I must please God. Whatever time I spent in my job, I must please God. I must not have this manner of maybe the way I take jobs and all the things, I must be according to God's standard. And
I will answer you. There are two answers to this question. One answer for you, then a general answer. Yes, you as a person, God must be glorified in your job. And you know what I'm talking about. Let's not go there before people who don't know. Huh? But God wants you to focus more on your work. You go and ask him. He will tell you. So that's the answer for you. So that don't come and give us one blanket that I've answered you. Now when we're talking about job, you need to know it is temporary. Okay? Okay? What is permanent is work. Paul was not going up and down making tents for people. It's only where he needs to raise money and he does not want to be a burden to others. He understood his priority, because what this seems to be saying all of a sudden now is that, what that means is that even while I'm doing the work of my life, I can have something on the side. No, that's not what we're saying. It's not all of us that will have a pulpit ministry, but all of us will preach. Amen. Some of us will be doctors, some of us will be teachers, some of us will be lawyers. And that's what God wants us to be. Luke, that wrote the book of Luke, was a doctor. Do you understand? And did it disturb the fact that he wrote the book of Luke? No. Some of us, all where we work in our lives will be hospitals. But God expects us to raise disciples for him where? In hospitals. Some of us will be policemen, soldiers, sailors. Okay, so what is permanent is your work. And it could be that you are a school teacher all your life, and that's where God wants to use you. Okay? We have taught people before. What is his name? He was an administrator. He was a politician. Daniel. All his life. Okay? He preached messages. He never preached in any church. Do you understand? Same thing with King David. But David was so many things. Are you getting it now? Nehemiah was a statesman. Yet he preached, but wasn't preaching in churches. Okay? Yet that which was his life's work, he did it and he achieved it. Because that must be clear to you. Because why it's not clear, we may be thinking that at least I still have job security. No. God's security is what you need. Amen. Are we getting it now? Now, we said, yes, Jesus spent more time. You know, maybe he said his father taught him, his earthly father taught him carpentry, maybe from a very young age. Maybe anything from 15, 16, maybe he started being a carpenter. At least if he started around 15, he has about 15 years, he has been carpentry. And yet in 3.5 years, he changed the world. Okay. Let me say, okay. Let me agree with you. Since you have been in this your singing ministry, it has been more than 3 years. What have you changed? You understand? And that should become a matter. And may that reduce the time you spend on your job. Yes?
Sir, something is coming to my heart now. And for me, I think why I've not made so much progress as I ought to is because the definition of work me I used to have is in that time of labor. In the time of labor.
In the time of labor.
Terms of work. And now that the Lord is raising the matter of living, so I'm beginning to see that the work that we are talking about is not even preaching. And that's why, that's just what is coming.
Thank God for preaching. For instance, let's say I'm sent by God to build missionary hospitals and also to preach. If I've preached and I didn't build missionary hospitals, am I successful? According to the time of God. I'm not now. Did I finish my work? The answer is no. Did I do all of my work? The answer is no. So when we are saying life or living, the whole essence of why you are living is why the work that you are sent to achieve or to accomplish
you should spend the whole of your time thinking, praying, planning, and working to make sure it is done. Acts chapter 20, verse 24. Acts 20:24, particularly from the Living Bible. Yes, please give her the microphone. I think she wants to ask a question. When we say you are living with eternity in view, it simply means that your lifestyle, daily as a person, is how will I finish what I've been asked to do. Simple. And if that's your lifestyle, everything that becomes the primary, every other thing else around it is secondary. And every other thing else can be sacrificed for it. That's what it means. Yes.
I want to clarify something on that job.
Yeah.
What if someone does a job and with the job you are trying to raise disciples there?
You see, there's nothing wrong with
and
trying to
get comfortable with that.
My sister, the problem is that that's not your work. Thank God you are raising disciples, but that's not your work. Let me answer it this way. I asked you, Sister Moji, please help me wash the plates in the kitchen. Then I went out. And by the time I came back, you have mopped the whole house, not even the sitting room. But the plates in the kitchen remained unwashed. Do you understand it now? You did something, and it wasn't evil what you did. But you did not do what you were ordered or instructed to do. That's the problem. Thank God that, I mean, some of us, like Joshua now in his job, he tries to reach people and all that and console himself that he's doing something. Because I have seen him labor in this work. And I know that where grace and anointing comes upon him is in that work. Because I know. So, he was telling me yesterday, he was to expand the job. I said, okay, as I was drinking my tea. He said, okay. What I'm more concerned about is, let him tell me this one. When does he want to start? Because time is low. Another 10 years, some of us will be 40. We'll be 50. How many years remain? And the funny thing is, in this one, nothing is really confronting you. You know, you think you have challenges in your job. In this one, Satan. I didn't say devils. I said what? Satan, the king of devils, has vowed that you will not do anything. That the reason why you came home, you will not fulfill anything. He has vowed. That's what he wants to do. The reason why we keep praying, anybody that wants to cover my destiny, it's all around job. You can't do your work and anybody can cover your glory. It's not possible. It's not possible. You can't be doing what God sent you to do, or you can't be wanting to do, to live for why God sent you, and any devil will be able to withstand you. It's not possible. But as long as you are here, they won't just withstand you, they will flog you very well. That's why most times things don't work out. The struggle is so much. See, I see how I experience so much ease. I experience ease in my life. Well, I pray the same for you. So much ease. Why? Because I know this is what my life is about. See, I don't want to become anything. I'm telling you. I have no ambition. I have no future ambition. All my ambition is what God wants me to do. And it was when I saw Acts chapter 20, verse 24, that strengthened my resolve. And I told myself, this is how I will live. Because if I do Acts 20:24, when I'm about to die, I'll be able to quote 2 Timothy 4:7-8. I'll be able to.
Acts 20:24.
Yes.
But life is worth nothing.
Life is worth nothing.
Unless I use it for doing the work assigned me by
my
the Lord.
My life is worth nothing. Unless what?
I use it.
For doing the work assigned to me.
By the Lord Jesus.
By this Lord Jesus Christ.
The work of telling others the good news.
The work of telling others the good news.
About God's mighty kindness and love.
Yes. In the King James, how did it read? I count not my life dear.
But none of these things move me.
None of these things move me.
Neither count I my life dear unto myself.
Neither am I counting my life dear unto myself. Please hold on. Why should the fact that God said that you pass out of school with, is using a car, why should it move you? Amen. So none of these things move me. If you see their wedding, wedding, Sorry. I want to reign at a time when one reigns forever. Amen. I want to attend parties at a time when I will attend it like a royal person. When angels, when I'm passing by, when they bow, my Lord, that's what I want. That's what I'm living for. I don't want to have a wedding here that till about show tongue. People just eat, they will even forget. None of these things move me. Neither do I count my life as if it is there, as if it's important. Yes?
So that I might finish my course.
Because all I want to do is finish my course.
And the ministry which I have received of the Lord
and
Jesus.
And the assignment that I have received, and every soul received. Do you understand? There is what you are meant to do. If not, see, is there a purpose for cockroaches? Is there a purpose for leaves? What about sand? Is there a purpose for sand? What about bed? Is there a purpose for bed? Goat. Cow, lion, tiger, shark. Are those things up to man? So you think you be a human being, and God's purpose for you is that you should be coming to church and sitting down? That cannot be. God that me I serve is more sensible than that. If things that are not up to you, there's a set purpose for them. Then there's an important reason why you came. And that reason is encapsulated in time. That time began and it will end. And may God help you to finish. Is it to finish or to even start? May God help you to start and to finish. In Jesus' name. Jesus finished. Paul finished. Peter finished. May you finish in Jesus' name. But may this meeting kickstart that you will start. In the name of Jesus Christ. Okay, that's all we are saying. So that the way you live daily, you are a focused person. You have no interest in, you have no interest in those things. Thank God for Jeep. Thank God. When the man dies, will he drive the Jeep? If rapture happens, will he be raptured with the Jeep? Most of the time, he will still be driving the Jeep when rapture has happened. Are you getting it now? There is why you exist. And like I always tell people, but how will I know this and that? How will you know it's not what's important? What's important is to first of all even accept that there's a reason why I'm existing. Once you've accepted that, then the next sensible thing that comes is, there's a general purpose. There's what God expects every Christian to do. When you begin to do that, and you are faithful in it, if you have not known specifically what he wants you to do, it takes a little while. It tells you. It could either be that he wants you to start a work, or he will ask you to join a work that he's doing somewhere else. Simple. I've trained people, and their work is supposed to be a separate work. Lamide comes here sometimes to teach. I trained him with Mshego. Okay? Yet, there will be people that God will say, no. Okay, look at him now. How come he doesn't start a ministry? No, his ministry is what he's doing here. Do you get the idea now? And when I attempted to do his ministry, I always don't get it right. Because he has a special grace for administration. And he's also a pastor. Do you understand? But I tried to do administration. Okay, our first meeting. I handed over this year. Let me face my work. That's what I'm sent to do. Okay? God cannot start talking to you about work when you people have not even established the matter of obedience. Just normal, ordinary obedience, day-to-day obedience. Don't start telling you about work. Show what you day. Oh, body day. No, my body, no. Your mother already did it. You are not the one that will hear him. Talk to him, do me. Mufeko work, I just stay work. Go to a body day. Magic, it didn't pay me. It's not possible. So, when we begin to live in obedience, as you study the Bible, you're obeying it. The general instructions that He gave to us, that He has given us, how many of us? All of us, the ministry of reconciliation. I don't care what you say your ministry is. It must be reconciling men to God. I don't care whether you are walking on the sea or you are with NASA that goes to the moon. Whatever your work is, it must bring men to God, or it must keep men in God. Okay? When you are doing that, you are obeying Him and you are doing the general things that you know you are supposed to do. If there's a need to now post you to a specific place or to a specific work or to start a specific thing, He will let you know. But I beg you, stop drifting. What did I say? Stop it. That's not the way to live. You will never find joy. You never find peace. You never find contentment. You will never find fulfillment that way. Just stop drifting. You know what it means to drift, or you don't know. I should explain. The way you are living now, you are drifting. Okay, only kinetic party, secondary school. Health party, office convocation. Oh, yeah, no. You are available for everything. It's part of lifetime that is not enough that you are using. You must at every occasion you must attend. No, stop drifting. He said, greet no man on the way. Is that not what Jesus said? When He sent them. Stop drifting. Live a very disciplined life. That's what you are sent here to do. Give it your best. Give it what? You know the way you work when people pay you to do something for them? Double it. When you want to focus on this assignment. That's how to do the work of God. The way when they pay you well. You know when they pay you well, what happens to you? You know, suddenly, even if you are tired, there's just the strength. Eh? That peak, double it. That's how to do the work of God. May the Lord give you peace in Jesus' name. Is there any other question before we close? Yes, Pastor Stephanie. Yes.
On prosperity.
Yes.
I wrote here, is it simple to be prosperous? But during your teaching, you answered that.
Okay.
But now, sometimes when people that I need comes to me and they talk to me, one of my prayers to God is, Lord, I need you to bless me. I want to be blessed and be worthy with cash. So that when people like this come to me, I just don't listen and give them Bible verses. I would want to sign checks. I would want to get into my bag and give them this money. You know, for if you tell an hungry man, go in peace, the Lord will provide. You have not answered his hunger or his, you've not satisfied. So that was, now I am getting it like my prayer point has been wrong. That it will be more difficult for me to be attached to God if I am rich. So that's my question number one.
I understand.
Okay.
You say, let me come this way. God is not afraid of to bless people. He's afraid of losing you if He blesses you. Do you understand? I'm telling you the truth. The Lord told me He wants me to be wealthy. How long did I fight it, Pastor Smith? Is this not speaking about it? He wants me to be very, very wealthy. And I said, Lord, no. I want to make it home. He said, you will make it home. But there are people, so when they asked Him why, then He said, I know your heart. I know what? So, I know I can keep things with you. See, let me tell you some of the things God wants me to do. He wants us to have things like stores where food is sold, staple food, dairy, vegetable, rice, all of those things. And it will always be the cheapest in any area where those stores are found. Does it make sense? You're supposed to own big farms. You are where you are selling. Is it not that you're supposed to double your whatever since you have it direct? But it will be very, very low. There's no reason why there should not be 15 hour plantain. Huh? And I'm not saying it should be one. There should be a bunch of plantain that can be sold for 15 naira. Do you know why? When you plant plantain, you don't do anything for it to grow. You don't know that. Brother Moses, what do we do for plantain to grow? Plantain. It just grows. Do you understand? And people put so much money on that. Something that they didn't pay anything for. Huh? There's no reason why a gate man should go home and not buy food. And when he comes in, it shouldn't be a gate man that came. It should be daddy has arrived. Those are my own heart desires. Those are things I know God will want us to do. So, see, healthcare can be free. What did I say? We can have maternity homes and basic health care for free in local areas. You are one of the people God will be using to buy drugs for the pharmacy there. Let people come and be treated. And they know that where they are coming to is a missions clinic or something like that. Now, nobody is asking for any money. And the nurses or doctors that are going to be in those places, they know that I am a missionary. I have signed my life away. The people that brought the Christian faith to us from Europe, was that not the way it was? What changed? When black people started having the same things, we must put money on top of it. So, if your heart is right, if your heart condition is right, God will, even when you don't want it, He will give you so that, I mean, there's nothing I can give away. Because I know that there's nothing I'm taking away. There's nothing I can give you. And I won't give you what something that has spoiled. But because since I'm not using the way, since it has torn. Sister, you just patch it. Just patch it. Because I would not like you to give me what I'll patch. You understand? So there's nothing wrong in desiring to have so that you can be a blessing. It might even be that there's a ministry there. Do you understand? If you remove all your distractions and you talk to God, it might be that it is God that is putting that desire there. Because the flesh does not naturally want to give something away. If that's what you are looking for, you know it's not a good thing. But if it's that, when nobody knows, be a blessing and move on. That kind of thing cannot be born from anything other than God. Because it said that, let your right hand not see what your left hand, let your left not see what your right hand is doing. That if you want to bless people. So if that's what you desire, then God will do it. In that case, while we are wealthy in the body of Christ, that we are holding that money in trust, or those properties in trust for God. Do you understand? We are holding it how? In trust. Why should I have two houses and a brother needs a house? And I can't help out. I'm asking her, hey, okay. Well, you know, now that you are coming now, you know it's not easy maintaining things here. But you see, just pay two-thirds of the rent. Two-thirds of the rent. So maybe it's 10,000 or 15,000 you remove from the whole money. What do people collect? What's the difference? You are the same with them. You understand? And when God sees that you are able and willing to give out more, what does He do? He provides more for you so that you can be able to do more and be a blessing more. So there's nothing wrong in desiring such or in praying for such. There's nothing wrong with it. As long as your motive is holy and your desires are pure. Yes.
Okay, the second question is on God's standard versus excellence.
God's standard
versus excellence. The world's excellence. Or how do I put it? You know, the world has its... the world has its standard.
Okay, okay. Now, God's standard versus worldly standard.
Okay, yes.
Okay. In terms of excellence.
Yes. Excellence. What I want to draw is the world has its standard. Let's say I run an institution.
Yes.
And I want to adhere to standard operating procedure.
Yeah.
You know, but sometimes I believe that, not sometimes, the Bible has its standard too as a Christian.
What's the general idea that you have? What's your general question?
The general idea is, like my school, okay. I want to pursue excellence, but sometimes I will feel what the world calls standard may negate God's will for the school.
Okay.
In that way, I don't know. Maybe I should just play safe, going with the Bible, than the world's standard.
Okay. Can you give an example? Can you give an example so that?
Okay, for instance, in my school, I have lots of situations where they will tell you that I want them to go uniform. I would want a standard this color because that's what is in vogue. And God may be telling me that, don't you think at the end of the day it will be so much that the parents may not be able to afford? Now I want to go with the standard. I want to buy the expensive material. I want them to put the style so that people will look at it and be like, wow, this is different. You know, and I know that at the end of the day, my result will be that cost implication, profit, will be, they can't afford it. That's what I mean. I don't know if I'm making any...
I understand you. I understand.
So it, can I still play, can I still go with the Lord and at the end of the day we will come out well?
I understand you. I understand you.
In setting up a school, sometimes we must know what is important and what is not important. Creativity is important. You don't need to spend so much before you have a fine uniform.
Do you understand?
You don't need to spend so much before you have so many. There are fabrics that are okay that they can have. Now, there are things that are very important. Children need to learn with technology because technology is quite involved and it will simplify their learning. So if you involve, if you put in technology that you find, okay, this one is what we can afford now, and you put it into a place where the student can begin to learn and relate. Now, there are things that maybe like some schools do. They travel to South Africa. They go to this place. They go on to Silverbird. They go on YouTube. You can go out. But you might not go to South Africa. You can go to maybe one beautiful place around that all you just need to just do is you think more by the help of the Holy Spirit to know. Now, kids, let's go to Domino Plaza, and they go around, they see how the places, they will experience something. You find some of them that even go to South Africa still can't relate with much of what the Holy Spirit will help you to do. So, simplicity, creativity, being led by the Holy Spirit, not there are things that are not easy. If we're going to do this thing, it's not going to cost us so much. Because I myself am running something like that. You know, so.
Thank you. If it is done with God, if your inspiration is from Him, don't mix it. Do you understand? Don't mix worldly standards, what they do and all of that. Okay? You know we run a school too. And people know, they know us for academic excellence, no matter how small that child is. Those things are prayed. You understand? Lord, what uniform would you like us to use, Seth? You know, it sounds somehow. It will sound somehow for somebody who does not know, somebody can ask God about uniform. And that's why I'm talking about your own life, the way you live. If in your own personal walk with God, you're such that you depend on God for everything, He will tell you about everything. If you ask about everything, what will He talk to you about? Everything. Okay? Don't see something. Okay? And because it looks good, you want to copy it. You don't know the source. You understand? And the world, it can look, things can be sparkling and all that. It's when you go to the source that you see how horrible it actually is. Most of the time, many of those so-called big schools, what they really sell is those packaging. At the end, the children don't know anything and they must keep pushing them to the next classes. You understand? They don't labor because maybe the school is just a business. It's not a passion. You know, but it can equally be a passion and at the same time, it's a business as yours is. You're getting that. So, we can talk more about what to do. You can talk to me or my wife, or you can talk to him also more about what to do. How can you make things that are really beautiful and colorful and yet it's not costing you so much money? Thank you. I think we've answered all the questions. All right. Let us thank Him for today. Let's thank Him for the things we are learning. Let's appreciate His holy name. Father, thank you for this third day. We appreciate you for grace. Thank you so much for the things that you're teaching us. May your name be glorified in Jesus' name. Thank you for the lessons we have learned. Thank you for the new courses that we are starting today. We ask that you benefit us in Jesus' name. It will change our perspective and focus in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you because you are faithful. For in Jesus' name we are praying. Lord, we thank you for the end of today. May your name be glorified in Jesus' name. Father, we can only plead that may you continue with us in Jesus' name. As we take time to think on the things that we are learning, I pray that in the name of Jesus, you will take us deeper and deeper in them until we become exactly what you want us to become in the name of Jesus by the power that is in your word. Thank you because you are faithful. We magnify your holy name. For in Jesus' name, we have prayed.
Having listened to the undiluted word of God, we implore you to respond to this message prayerfully. Remember, it is what you do with what you hear that brings about transformation. For further inquiries or counsel or for more information on our discipleship labors, please contact us on 080-833-8536, 080-7455-8177, 081-4099-1321. Or visit our blogspot at www.reformationplatform.com. When it's all been said and done, there is just one thing that matters. Did I do my best to live for truth? Did I live my life